Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. Again, I say, church, happy new year. It's 2020. I want to know if how many of you have made resolutions, or anyone here? Hands. Two people made resolutions, three people. Anybody want to share one of your resolutions or goals for the year? Anyone? Read the Bible by the end of the year. That's Donna. Lance? Lance says 2 Timothy 1:6, where it says, stir up the gift that was given to you when we laid hands on you, for we have not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love. I love it. I don't make resolutions per se. I set goals. I usually, at the beginning of the year, choose a word to really lean into. This year, my word is discipline. Lord willing, in 5 months, I will finally be graduating from grad school. 3 years too late, but I'm disciplined, and I'm going to get that done. And there's some other things that, in terms of our family and just personal, I need to just exhibit some more discipline, health, financial, spiritual. If you do set goals, you know, it's important that you set what we call SMART goals. I don't know if you've ever heard of the acronym SMART. SMART is an acronym. When you set goals, you want to be, there's a graphic up there, you want to be specific with your goals. You know, set a goal that's measurable so you know, like, you can mark your progress. They're attainable. You know, don't set a goal to get to the moon this year. Like, that's just not a attainable goal, probably. That they're relevant and they're time-based. So, you know, don't just set a goal to read more this year. Set a goal to read 6 books. Right? That's a goal that you can measure. By the end of the year, you can say, yep, I read those 6 books. But if you just set a goal to read, you know, you'll go all over the place. Reminds you of the guy who says, you know what, I want to read more in this upcoming year. And so what he did is he put the closed captioning on his TV so he'd have to read the words on the TV. Now, you know, maybe he'll meet his goal of reading more, but it's probably not a smart goal. I am praying that if you have made resolutions, set goals, or made some commitments for this year, that God will bless you to see it to its fulfillment. I pray for this body. I pray for you individually. I have a directory with me that all throughout the year, I will just spend time on my knees, just reading the names in the directory and praying for you all. I've made a commitment to pray for this church body as I serve as its minister. I will always commit to be a servant of Jesus Christ and your servant. I love God. I love the church, and I love people. I know I have been called to do what I am doing. I can't picture myself doing anything else. The thought of it just flees. You know, just picture myself doing something. I just can't see doing that. I believe that this is a high call. Having said that, I also want to express my deep gratitude to this church for partnering with me for 17 and a half years. You have supported my family and me. You've supported me financially, spiritually, emotionally. We have been through a lot together. I have served in full-time ministry for almost 22 years. And so 17 and a half of those 22 years have been right here. I've been standing on this stage in some capacity or another for almost 18 years. The Reynoldsburg Church of Christ has been my home where I have shaped or where God has shaped most of my theological and ministry perspectives. It is the Lord's, if it is the Lord's will, we still have more to do together. I praise God for the growth we have experienced in this body, both growing pains and growing maturity. Last year, our church experienced a lot. We experienced a lot of death. We had some deaths of some longtime members, you know, the Wards, you know, Evelyn Darr. You know, some of us, we lost spouses. Some of us lost children. Some of us lost parents and others, close friends. We continue to be mindful of those who grieve the passing of your loved ones. We continue to mourn with you because we are your family and we love you. And we want you to know that you are not forgotten, that we know that, you know, during the holidays, it was rough. It was tough knowing that this would be the first Christmas without your loved one, or the first New Year without your loved one. So we love you, and we still want you to know that we mourn with you. At the same time, we experience some losses. We experience some new births, particularly spiritual. There were men and women who committed their lives to God. Literally, folks from young to old made commitments to Jesus Christ, and our church has been blessed to be a part of their journeys and their stories. It will be a lasting image in my mind at the home of the Sarbers, and watching Bill Johnson kneel down in a bathtub and baptize Jim Sarber. Or just, you know, a few weeks ago, watching Arabella and all of her family and friends and former teachers coming to see her commit to the Lord and be baptized into Jesus Christ. Our church continues to demonstrate a generous spirit. Many in this body excel at giving of themselves and of their resources in order for us to do God's work. While we can always do better and do more, we should not dismiss the copious amounts of money and time and energy that have been donated in the name of Jesus for others. The generosity of so many in this church has allowed us to preach the gospel of Jesus, to be present with others, to make renovations to our physical plant, our church building. Your generosity has allowed us to serve the community with food assistance, assistance with utilities, assistance to local schools and other various needs. God must be given the glory for the participation of the saints in the mission of God through the collective giving of this body. That's something to be excited about. This is the year 2020 that everyone has been talking about for the past several years. Churches in particular began, years ago, planning their 2020 vision. Even Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, we had a sermon, probably about 4 years ago about our 2020 vision, what we want to accomplish or where we want to be by 2020. And I wonder, as we look around here or we look around at other churches or other organizations, how close did all of us come toward implementing what we thought would happen in 2020? It'd be an interesting study. We're always about looking forward and planning for the future. We are always trying to be forward thinking. We want to plan for our future. We dream dreams of God's blessing in our church. We dream and vision cast so that our church would be our church would be positioned to do its very best in presenting the good news to our community so that men, women, and children would give their lives to God and come to Jesus. We want to make and grow disciples of Jesus Christ. This is our goal, our purpose, and our mission. We embody this goal unapologetically and unashamedly. We want to make disciples and we want to grow disciples. Admittedly, we are faced with more challenges along the way. And one of the challenges is getting the entire church behind the mission and vision of the church. Last year, we began to employ language that seemed to sum up in words our participation with God in mission. In the first sermon of last year, series I think I titled Illuminate, during the season of Epiphany, I introduced phrases that we would hear over and over. Recall that I said that our church is here to connect people to God, connect people to people, and to connect people to purpose. And we draw this from a myriad of sources, from scripture, from prayer, from conversation, from observation, that God is literally speaking into our existence what we ought to be about. It's drawing people to God so that they would have a relationship, a robust relationship with God, connecting people to God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Connect people to people. That is, we have not been created to live life by ourselves. God created us out of a context of relationship. Let us make humans in our image and let them rule the earth. God created us out of a context of relationship into a context of relationship. And so it's important that we connect people to people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Connect people. And to know that God did not just put us here to just stand around and look and gaze. But God said, let them rule the earth. Let them have dominion over the earth. Y'all take care of what's here. You have purpose. And so it's not enough to just connect people to God and connect them to people. We have to find ways to connect them to their God-given purpose. And so we use those words. You heard me say that a lot from up here. Connect to God, connect to people, connect to purpose. We didn't just pull these phrases, we didn't roll some dice with some letters on it, and that's what formed. We saw God moving us naturally in this direction, and it flows right out of the story of God. God's plan from the very beginning was to connect with humans and to get humans to connect with each other and to get those connected humans to connect with their purpose for this planet. When we participate in ministries and service projects and programs, it's important that we ask ourselves that question. Is this ministry connecting to God, connecting people to people, connecting people to purpose? Am I connecting to God? Am I connecting to people? Am I connecting to purpose? If we're not, I'm telling you, it's going to be a recipe for some heartache, It's going to be a recipe for displeasure and dissatisfaction. If you don't see yourself connecting, then we would encourage self-reflection and that you would invite others to contemplate alongside you. When you don't keep God's activity in full purview of what we are doing in the body of Christ, we will experience deep frustration, ineffectiveness, and burnout. God's mission for our church must remain the focal point of our story as a church. There is much involved in keeping us focused, church. This brings me to the text for today. In the letter to the Ephesian churches that I just read the beginning portion of, the Apostle Paul wrote to a group that he was very familiar with. He planted the churches, church communities in Ephesus, and he stayed in that area for close to 4 years. He had deep relationships with the people there, and he was able to write passionately and directly to the group there. In the beginning of this letter to the Ephesians, he was intent on helping them to identify themselves within the realm of God's kingdom. He used God's language of blessing. He wanted them to know who they were, whose they were, and the blessing of this identity and what that would mean for the rest of the world. Consider the blessing that Paul highlights in this beginning portion of the letter to Ephesians. He says in chapter 1 that every spiritual blessing is found in Christ Jesus. In verse number 4 of chapter 1, he says we have been blessed in that God chose us. In verse number 5, he says that God adopted us. In verse number 6, he says that God has freely given us grace. In verse number 7, it says we have been redeemed. We've been bought back. In verse number 7, he says we have been forgiven of sins. In verse number 8, he has given us wisdom and insight. In verse number 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. In verse number 11, we have an inheritance. In verse number 11, we have a purpose in God's kingdom. In verse number 13, we have been included in Christ. In verse number 13, we've been marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit. Church, we are blessed. A few days ago, there was this door-to-door salesman selling windows and door, you know those guys that come to your door and try to offer you to, you know what I'm talking about? I'm the only one they come to. I'm the only door they come to. Well, they come to my door all the time. They probably come to me a lot because I don't know how to say no and shut the door. I always say, all right, yeah, I'll take your little offer. But I'll never forget this guy, African-American gentleman, comes to my door. I open the door, I say, hello, sir, how can I help you? He says, well, you know what? I am blessed by the best and too stressed to be. I'm like, what? You're too blessed to be stressed and blessed by the best. He used language that when I read Ephesians chapter 1, that's what I want to say. I am blessed by the best. I am too blessed to be stressed because I am surrounded by so many blessings. What Paul is doing in the beginning of this letter is letting the Ephesians know, we're going to get into some issues. I got to talk about a couple things that's going on in Ephesus, but I want you to know right off the bat, you are blessed by the best. We are blessed by the best. We are surrounded by so many blessings. I just listed about 10, 12, 14 blessings, and that's just in chapter 1. Read throughout Ephesians, and there are more blessings. Our participation with God in his kingdom is a special designation we have as members of the body of Christ. And I can't help but think and believe that we have to take this designation very, very seriously. I can't help but believe that too often we are consumed with what's wrong with the church rather than what is right with the church. I think sometimes we are so consumed with what just don't get it, then what blesses us and all the blessings that surround us. I can't help but think that we often operate out of a feeling of scarcity rather than out of a feeling and a setting of abundance. God has surrounded us with an abundance of blessings, not scarcity and want, but we like to operate out of fear and scarcity. I've not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power and love, not fear, but blessing. We either believe that all these spiritual blessings are in Christ or we don't. We either believe or live fully into the truth of God surrounding us with all of these blessings, or we don't. We can't live with one foot in the truth of God's blessing and the other foot in the consuming perceptions of our own disdain for things. In 2020, we have to make a choice to follow God and to lean into and to live fully into His blessings. We need to follow God where He leads us. May 2020 communicate to us that this is the year that we see clearly what God is doing. You know, you've been to the eye doctor and they tell you you have 20/20 vision. That means you can see clearly. May this be the year that we see clearly what God is doing. Now, I can tell you that in seeing clearly what God is doing and actually following what God tells us to do as we see clearly what He is telling us to do is going to call for some things. It will call for some changes. It will call for some adjustments. It will call for more commitment. It will call for more participation. It will call for more time. It will call for more unity. It will call for more relationship reconciliations. It will call for more passionate worship. It will call for more serious Bible study. It will call for more fervent prayer. It will call for more financial giving. It will call for more better stewardship of the things that God has given us. It will call for us to be better parents. It will call for us to be better children. It will call for us to be better spouses. It will call for us to be better friends. It will call for us to be better leaders. It will call for us to cooperate with each other and stop competing with one another. It will call for us to be more considerate. It will call for us to be more forgiving. It will call for us to be more loving. It will call for us to be more grateful. It will call for us to be more gracious. It will call for us to be more vulnerable. It will call for us to be more honest. It will call for us to be more sacrificial. It will call for us to interact more with the community. It will call for us to be present. It will call for us to be wholly dependent on the Holy Spirit. It will call for us to be more like Jesus. It will call for us to completely trust in the Father. Did I miss anything? I don't know if when Paul wrote Ephesians, he had what I just spoke in mind. But I do believe that what Paul wrote to the Ephesians is just applicable in 2020 as it was in the first century when this was written. Furthermore, as we walk into the unknown, that is the unforeseen of the new year, we do so with eagerness and confidence, knowing that God is in control. Amen? This is God's doing. And I just want to be a part of what He is doing in the name of Jesus. Jesus is in all, above all, and over all, and that gives me ease. You see, Christ is in charge, not me, not the elders, not the most influential members, not the person who gives the most money. Christ is the boss. I love what Paul writes next in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in the age but also in the age to come, and he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is the head. We are the body. And that gives me reason to have new hope in this new year. May 2020 be the year that we see clearly what the Lord is doing. May we see clearly our identity, our mission, our purpose, our tactics, our plans, our methods, our direction. Happy New Year. And here's the hope in 2020. Earlier, we prayed a prayer of covenant and commitment, where we gave ourselves as individuals in the earshot of the community of faith to give ourselves wholly to God. I pray that we would likewise pray a prayer like that with our hearts, our spirits, join together in unity to say that we will covenant with one another, to covenant with God, to do mission, to listen to God, to see God, to follow God. Again, it's going to call for some changes. It's going to call for some of us to be uncomfortable. It's going to call for some of us to go over and beyond what we think we can do. But that's the God we serve. That's the God that later on Paul would write to this same church and say, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. There is a power in us that will see to it that we will accomplish what God calls us to do in 2020. Calling us to reach our communities, calling us to reach people that don't look like us, calling us to reach people that have never believed, calling us to reach people that once believed but don't now believe, but now need to come back to believe, calling us to reach the unreachable, calling us to reach people in the margin, calling us to reach CEOs, calling us to reach people who have said horrible things about God and Jesus Christ. God is calling us to reach everybody, the poor, the rich, the middle class, the lower class, the no class. May we see clearly what God is calling us to do. And may we stop living one foot in a belief that God has surrounded us with all these blessings and one foot in, oh, I can't, I just don't like what's going on. May we live fully in the truth that we are blessed by the best, that we are too blessed to be stressed. Amen? Amen. In the upcoming weeks, as we preach through sermons, we'll have presentations, elders will be sharing things, I'll be preaching sermons like I've always done, you know, textual sermons, topical sermons, trying to motivate us to grow closer to God, to grow closer to one another, and to grow closer to what God has called us to for our purpose. Let's pray. Holy God in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. for what he has done for us. Thank you so much for adopting us as your sons and daughters. God, giving us an inheritance of riches that are found in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the story of Christ and his example. And may we, as we have been empowered by this seal, the Holy Spirit, may we, with that power that is at work within us, see clearly where you are leading us, where you are taking us, where you are sending us, and may we live faithfully into that call. Father, yes, we'll have doubts. Yes, we'll have questions. Yes, we'll have complaints. But God, may we be convinced by the overwhelming testimony of your work throughout history, through men and women who said yes to you and did incredible things, because you are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Father, may we believe that. May we claim that, and may we live that fully into existence here in the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. God, we love you. And God, may our love for one another be an expression and response to your love for us. We love you. Help us to see clearly in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is the first Sunday of the year. If this is a day that you need to make a new commitment to God, maybe you've fallen off and gone somewhere that you didn't need to go, and you want to be drawn back to God, and you want to make a public acknowledgement of that to the body of Christ. Say, this is my resolution. I am resolved to follow God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to give you that opportunity. We'll sing a song in just a second as a song of encouragement. If you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to express that you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one sent by God to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins, and you want to make a public confession of that, you want to make a public profession of it through baptism, we can do that for you this morning. Or if you want to come or share with someone that you just want to talk more about what that means, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we invite you to do that as well. Let's stand and let's sing.